This is episode number 99 of the Fearless Presentations podcast, the fastest, easiest way to eliminate public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome back to the Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Stannert, CEO of the Leaders Institute and Fearless Presentations. And this is the podcast that helps people just like you reduce public speaking fear and become more poised and confident presenters and speakers. This is episode number 99, which is really fun. We're just a week away from our centennial episode. So we're really looking forward to that. We are still planning to do our big reveal about the new and improved Fearless Presentations on episode number 100, which is next week. So we're really looking forward to that. On this session, though, we're going to be talking about body language in public speaking. You know, basically, how do we move around the room and how do we move when we're standing up in front of a group so that we look more poised and confident when we present? It's one of those things that we spend a lot of time on the actual content. We'll spend a lot of time on our slideshow, but a lot of times we don't spend a lot of time on our movement and our body language and stuff like that. So we're going to do a little bit of that on this episode. The episode is brought to you by fearlesspresentations.com. We just have a ton of classes that are coming up. If you have ever wanted to take a public speaking class, but you've got about a week to start registering for some of the classes that we have outstanding, because come next week we're going to be revealing the new and improved Fearless Presentations, and anybody who is pre-registered for a Fearless Presentations class that's coming up, whether that's next month or next year, as long as it's on the schedule, if you register within the next 7 days, you get the tuition for the price that's published on the website right now. So if you've ever wanted to take a public speaking class, go to fearlesspresentations.com, look at the seminar schedule, and register for one of those classes. Okay, so let's jump into today's podcast. Let's jump into the topic for today, which is body language in public speaking. And when we say body language, basically what we're talking about is the nonverbal cues, those movements that we make during the communication process. And presenters, like I said before, we often focus on, you know, what we're going to say and our visual aids. However, you know, we often overlook a very important part of the speech, which is our body language. And in public speaking, if you look poised and confident, then your audience is going to believe that you are poised and confident. If you look nervous and timid, or you look like you don't know what you're talking about, guess what? They're going to believe that too. So it's very important to kind of present in a way that makes you appear as though that you're poised, you're confident, you're in control, you have authority on the topic that you're speaking on. So in this session, we're going to cover just a few simple basic public speaking ideas that will help you stand and move better. And in the beginning, I'm going to kind of show you how important the nonverbal communication process is during your presentation. And then I'll give you a few tips that will help you look and feel more comfortable or confident when you're in front of a group, even if you are really, really nervous. And then finally, I'm going to give you a really, really big presentation secret that once you understand this secret, it's going to really change the way that you present. It's going to change the way that you carry yourself when you're in front of a group. So let's start with that first part, which is, you know, your body language in public speaking is really important to a successful speech. Now, when you hear presentation coaches refer to, or when they reference anyway, body language, they often are referring to a 1967 study that was published by, I'm going to probably mispronounce this guy's name, Albert Mehrabian, Dr. Mehrabian. He still is a professor at UCLA. He wrote a paper back in the 1960s, though, that has been probably, with the exception of the people only tap into 10% of their brain power analogy that folks, that speakers use all the time, this is really one of the most misquoted concepts, especially in public speaking. And basically what this doctor at UCLA concluded was that only about 7% of the communication process comes from the words that we speak. He said 38% of communication comes from the voice and the tone that you use, and the final 55% of the communication process actually comes from your body language. And in reality, though, if you go back and look at that study, it really didn't have anything to do with public speaking or presenting in front of a group. The control that he was using, or the concept that he was using, was that if you just say a single word, how much of a person's communication process is based on the nonverbal. And if you're only going to say one word and you change the tone of that one word pretty dramatically, guess what? Your understanding of what that word is meaning is going to change pretty dramatically as well. So it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with public speaking, but you'll still hear a lot of public speaking coaches quote this study. Now, with all that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that body language isn't important. I just kind of think that the body language that we use when we're in front of a group is important in a totally different way. For instance, when I wrote the book Fearless Presentations, which was, that was pushing 19 years ago now, so it's been quite a while. I mentioned in that book the concept that people judge our competence by the confidence that we show, especially when we're up in front of a group. And this statement is so true. I mean, the better that a speaker carries himself or herself, the more credibility that the speaker is going to have with that particular group. So if you look timid or if you look nervous, then your audience is going to question your competence. To cover for this nervousness, a lot of times what speakers will do is they're going to hide behind a lectern, right? So they're going to, by the way, sometimes people, that's another kind of misquote that people will use. They'll call that box that people stand behind that they often put their notes on, they'll call that a podium. That's actually not a podium. The podium is actually the miniature stage that folks stand on. The lectern is kind of what they're standing behind. That's what you'll see in a church or in a lot of business meetings, especially in hotels and that kind of thing. But they'll hide behind that lectern, and when they do, they're doing that as a way to try to hide their nervousness. And others will actually deliver their entire presentation from a seated position, and they make the slideshow the presentation. And if you refer back to last week's episode on PowerPoint slides, you'll know that's a pretty bad habit to get into. So when you do these things, what basically the reason why you don't want to stand behind a lectern and you don't want to make the slideshow your presentation is that you're losing your connection to the audience. You're also likely, inadvertently anyway, making your presentation way more boring than what it should be. So what we're going to do in the next few minutes is I'm going to give you just a few really simple things. Now, these are not all of the things that you can do to improve your gestures and your movement and your body language and stuff like that. But these are some of the big ones. These are the ones that we focus on these a lot in the Fearless Presentations class just because they work, pretty much 100% of the time. So these are just a few simple tips that if you do these things, it will help a lot. One of the things that we always encourage people to do a lot of times people don't even think this is a tip about body language and about moving, but it's where you set your visual aid. So a lot of times folks will actually set their visual aid, their screen, up in the very center of the front of the room. So we encourage people to not do that. That's a bad habit, because if you put your screen up there, then now when you want to present, you will either be presenting from behind the room or behind the audience. Sometimes people will do that, which is just weird. Or you're going to be kind of squeezed into this little tight space on the side of the room. And if you ever want to kind of cross over and kind of speak to the people on the other side of the room, you're going to have to cross in front of your projection screen, unless it's a digital screen, which is becoming more popular nowadays. But anyway, the point is that when you do those kind of things, you're just limiting yourself to a much smaller stage to present from. And now that you're off to the side, your audience is going to, I mean, if you think about it, they didn't come to your presentation to see your bullet points, and they didn't come to see you click through a bunch of bullet points. They came to hear you speak. They came to find out that information, that critical information that they need to know in order to do their job more effectively or whatever it is. So that's the first thing. The first thing really doesn't have a whole lot to do with body language. It's the thing that will set up much better body language, is the way that you set the room up. So my tip is set your screen off to the side and use the middle or the center of the stage as the place where you present from. And then one of the other tips I'll give you is to use your slideshow more effectively, which we'll kind of cover in a few minutes. Okay. So the second thing is you want to take a deep breath and drop your hands down by your side. Now, please, 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 please don't misunderstand this tip. The tip that I'm giving isn't to keep your hands down by your side, right? I mean, it's not, that would look weird. You're going to look really, really weird if you're keeping your hands down by your side. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. When you start your presentation with your hands just kind of drop loosely down by your side, your first gesture that you make with your hands is going to be big. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be way more energetic than if you have your hands clasped in some way. In fact, you can actually try this wherever you're at. If you're listening to the podcast, or if you happen to be seeing the video presentation of this, you can actually kind of do this yourself. So basically, all you really have to do is just kind of stand up, and when you're standing up, just clasp your hands in front of you. Just clasp them together in front of you, you know, around your waist or something like that, right? So it just kind of like you're praying, I guess, or you know, you're about to applaud or something like that, right? So just kind of clasp your hands. Now, when you do that, let's say that you want to make a gesture. Let's say you're doing this in front of a group. You want to make a gesture. So the first thing that you have to do is you have to break that clasp. So open your hands up, and then now just try to make a gesture with one hand. And when you make that gesture with one hand, if you look at yourself when you're doing it, your elbow is most likely going to be down by your side. And when it is down by your side, that gesture that you're making is going to look really small, really weak, really robotic. It's almost like you're a robot on a sci-fi movie or something like that. And now try it with your hands down by your side now. So when you just drop your hands, and by the way, when you're doing that clasped together version, if you do it with both hands, you know, you try to gesture with both hands, one to one side and then one to the other, you'll kind of, from the audience's perspective, it's like you look like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, it's like those little bitty tiny arms on a big body with a big head, that kind of thing. So just keep that in mind. So now try it again though, but this time drop your hands down by your side. If you drop your hands down by your side and now you try to gesture, it's almost impossible to gesture with one hand if you start that way. In fact, there's a good chance that when you tried to gesture with one hand when you tried it, that the second hand kind of popped up on the opposite side of your body. It's kind of normal. Typically, we tend to gesture with both sides. So that gesture that you now did, because you're coming from a lower point, a lower starting point, it's going to look more powerful. It's going to look more energetic. It's going to look more natural. And the interesting thing about it is that when you stop making that gesture and you drop your hands down by your side, which is what people will often do, your hands will often go back to the starting point wherever you started. And when that happens, then the next gesture that you do will be big and powerful as well. So keep that in mind. We're not telling you to drop your hands to keep them there. It's so that the gestures that you use will now be way, way, way more powerful. So tip number three, and this is the one that you will hear us a lot. I mean, if you ever go to a Fearless Presentations class, or if you've listened to the podcast, or you've seen my videos on YouTube, this tip is pretty common, because this is really your ace in the hole with just about anything that you do in public speaking, is you want to tell more stories. If you really want to have great body language when you present, you really need to tell more stories or give more examples. It's almost impossible to tell a story without using your hands to explain what's happening. For instance, when I start my presentation class, and when I start a Fearless Presentations class that I'm teaching, I'll often start with a story about myself, about how I got into public speaking and why I was terrified when I first started in public speaking and didn't really like it. And when I do, I tell about a time when the very first time I had to present in front of a bunch of high-powered executives. And it's funny how when I describe that and I kind of relive it in my head as I describe it, my gestures will start to kind of take over. So when I kind of tell them that I started to get the sweaty palms, you know, I inadvertently will kind of take one of my palms and start wiping it on my shirt or my pants. And when when I talk about how I speak really, really fast when I get nervous, and in this situation, I just kind of zoom through my entire presentation, I start to kind of move my fingers and my hands around in circles really, really quickly to kind of describe that as I'm saying it. These things happen, these movements, all of these movements that I'm doing with my hand, these gestures, they add a lot of clarity to the description of what I'm giving to my audience. And nobody ever taught me how to do this. It's not something that you have to learn how to do. We've been doing this naturally since we were kids, since we were little bitty and we started telling stories for the first time. So they happen really naturally, just as you relive that incident in your head. So if you're putting these natural gestures that you do when you're telling a story, they add a lot of enthusiasm. They add a lot of fun to your presentation. So if you want to use, you know, a more poised body language, if you want to have a more poised body language, then really just tell more stories in your presentation. It'll happen very naturally. Okay, the fourth one, and this is a big one as well, and we focus on this one, especially in the latter parts of the Fearless Presentations class, is you want to use your visual aid. One of the things that bugs me the most is when a speaker just kind of stands, or in a lot of cases they'll sit down, and they're just clicking a clicker. That's the only movement they ever have when they're speaking, is they're just kind of clicking their thumb on their clicker, or if they're sitting at their laptop, they're just hitting their arrow key on their laptop. If you're going to take the time to create a fantastic visual aid, then use it, for God's sakes, right? One of the techniques that we cover in our speaking class is to visibly go up and actually touch the screen when you add something to a slide. So when you reveal a bullet point, you kind of go up and touch it with your fingers. We couldn't do this in the olden days, by the way. Went back in, you know, like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when we didn't have the high-powered screens that we have, projectors that we have now, or the digital screens that we have now. We had those overhead projectors and the big bright lights, and you know, you didn't want to actually go toward your visual aid because when you turned around it would kind of blind you, and when you went back. But nowadays the technology that we have is so phenomenal that you can actually physically go up and touch the screen with your fingers to let people know that, hey, now we just moved to bullet point number two. So that's what we kind of cover in our classes. So if you've ever been in one of those presentations where a speaker kind of puts up a series of bullet points and just starts talking, you know, there might be 10 bullet points on a slide, and then he or she just kind of just starts talking, and you think that the speaker is on bullet point number four, and you kind of are trying to follow along as best you can, and then all of a sudden the speaker kind of clicks his clicker and the slide goes away. He's like, oh my God, he was on bullet point number 10 there, and I didn't even realize it. So that happens a lot in presentations. But the reason why that happens, though, is because the speaker is not using his or her visual aid effectively. They're not using that visual aid as a way to help clarify what they're saying. And a lot of the bullet points, they're not really clearly defined. So there's a lot of overlap. You know, the bullet points are kind of meshed together. So it just makes the entire presentation confusing. So a better way is to actually physically go up to the screen, point to the bullet point number two when you move to bullet point number two. And then if you combine this technique, by the way, with the story that we talked about in the previous concept, then your presentation just comes alive, because now what happens is the speaker will move toward the screen and identify which bullet point that she's on. And when she does that, of course, when she wants to reinforce that bullet point, now she tells a story. Most likely she's going to take a step away from that screen, move toward the audience, start to tell her story, start to tell a story to one half of the room and then turn to the other half of the room. And the whole time she's given those great natural gestures that we just talked about. This combination of the two techniques adds just a lot of enthusiasm and energy to a presentation. It makes it really, really fun. Okay, so those few things, I mean, it's only like four really simple things, but if you do those four really simple things, it will change the way that you appear anyway when you're in front of a group. And the neat thing that I've kind of found is that when people do those four things really, really well, even though they may feel nervous in the beginning, when they start to get the good positive feedback from the audience, when they're telling those stories and they see the people in the audience kind of nodding their head and following along, and they go, oh my God, okay, this is working really, really well. Then their confidence will actually shoot up pretty dramatically. Now, here's the real secret. I kind of mentioned at the beginning of the session that I would tell you a presentation secret that will absolutely help a lot with presentation gestures. And this presentation secret is that most people don't realize that, well, and in fact, I guess if I tell it to you now, it's not really going to be a secret. but it is a pretty closely held secret. Most of the stuff that happens to people when they get nervous is stuff that the audience will never, ever pick up on. Now, some of those things that you do will, the audience will actually pick up on those things. But a lot of stuff like for instance, if you have public speaking fear, a lot of times you're going to have kind of the shaky hands, or your heart might start beating faster, or you might get those butterflies in your stomach, your breathing might change, any of those kind of things. Those are absolutely real. We feel those things, and they are kind of normal when somebody gets nervous. But they're also things that the audience isn't necessarily ever going to see, which is kind of cool. So like, for instance, if your heart is beating faster, there's no way that your audience is going to know that your heart is. I mean, obviously, if you have a heart attack, they're going to know something's wrong. But for the most part, if your heart is beating faster, they don't know that. If you are breathing differently, I mean, your voice may change slightly, and they may pick up on that if they know you well. But for the most part, they won't identify that either. If you feel queasy, you feel like you got those butterflies in your stomach, there's no way the audience will know that you're feeling those butterflies. So the thing you want to keep in mind is that the reason why this is important is because most of the time when we're presenting, we're not the only person in the room that's going to be presenting in a short period of time. So maybe there's four speakers in a morning and we're one of the four, and two people get up in front of us and they do fantastic and they don't look nervous at all. And then I get up and I'm a basket case, and then the last person gets up and she does well too. Oh my God, I'm the only one in the whole room that felt nervous. There's a good chance that most of the people in the room probably felt nervous as well. And their nervousness didn't show any more than what yours did. So just kind of keep that in mind. If you understand that and then you use some of these tips about body language when you stand up, it's going to help you not only boost your confidence, but you'll be seen as being a really poised and enthusiastic speaker. So anyway, so thanks a lot for being a part of the Fearless Presentations podcast. I'm Doug Standert with the Leaders Institute. And if you haven't yet done so, make sure and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure and hit the subscription button, because we're putting out new content every single week. And if you have questions or if you have any concerns, make sure and go to fearlesspresentations.com, complete one of the forms on our website, or just register as a free member. You'll get lots of free tips, but you also get access to be able to ask us questions and things like that. A lot of the content that we cover here on the Fearless Presentations podcast is actually coming from people just like you who have a question. They ask, you say, oh great, that would make a good podcast topic. So if you have any ideas or questions, you know, make sure and leave them in the comments on the Fearless Presentations website, fearlesspresentations.com. We will see you next week on the Fearless Presentations podcast.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.